The views and opinions expressed in the following broadcast do not necessarily reflect the views of Revere Radio Network, Rob Revere, or any other host on the network. They are the personal thoughts and feelings of the host given the presentation. We support total free speech here at Revere Radio Network, even when it's ugly. Enjoy.
Hey, you're listening to Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Darker near the water, don't you think it's sad? What's happened to the water? Our water's going bad. Oceans, rivers, lakes, and streams have all been touched by man.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Nowhere to Run on the Revere Radio Network. It is the worldwide home of free speech on Revere Radio. I'm happy to be here with you guys. I'm always happy to be here on the network. Got a lot to do today. Actually, I don't have a lot to do today. I just always say that. But the reason I don't is because I'm going to cop out a little bit, and I'm going to play an interview that I did just yesterday. Yes, yesterday with a guy named Rob Bishop on his show, The Rob Bishop Show. And he had me on there concerning fluoride and some other issues about that. So I'll play that. It's really a good interview. And I'll play that clip here in just a minute, and it'll constitute a majority of the show. What I spent a lot of time doing this week was responding to a comment that a guy had posted to a theory that I had wrote. And this theory was something, it's kind of advanced stuff, and you pretty much have to know or have been down some of the roads that I've have been down as far as studying about a lot of this stuff, or you can go through all the materials that are referenced in the theory and the videos and stuff, and you can kind of be on the same page. But a guy had posted a comment about the theory, which was, and he had been down these same roads, and he had come to a lot of the same conclusions I had, except of course not the Christianity part of it. So a lot of the questions he proposed, a lot of them were the Christian debunking type questions, and I really like and encourage that for me and for other people, and I want to make some kind of website or forum, some kind of thing, maybe call it like neo-apologetics, because there's a void, I think, in apologetics now, where a lot of stuff needs to be explained that people are taking for fact in this conspiracy world. I mean, you know, people tend to think that the Bible is a fairy tale and that it's all been proved by science to be untrue. I mean, that's kind of almost the going philosophy in the secular world, even though nobody, when probed on it, would have any basis on it, anything to point to or anything except for things that have been thoroughly debunked. But anyway, my point is, this guy had some really good questions, and all this stuff I knew, some of it I didn't know, and had to search on myself, and found out some stuff that just blew my mind, especially as the Maseroth is concerned. Man, I'm so glad. I really encourage. I want to do this more often. I want to get just bombarded with everybody's questions that they believe Christianity is not true for X reason and this reason. Please just send them all to me. If you have any questions that you want to believe it, but how you can't believe it because this, or maybe the Bible was written this and it was obviously this and that. Well, let's have them. Chris@conspiracyclothes.com is a good way to do it, and also you can. Well, let me show you where give you a link, to, or I guess a verbal link to to this back and forth that I was having with this guy. It was on my MySpace page, the Conspiracy Closed MySpace page, which is myspace.com/conspiratees. That's conspiratees, T-E-E-S, conspiratees. I know, it's so clever. And so myspace.com/conspiratees, and go to the blog section. There is a blog in there about a theory about so-and-so and so-and-so. Click on that, and you'll see the comments, the back and forth there. So anyway, so go to there and check that out. Email me if you got any questions about that. Okay, I'm going to play a quick commercial, and then we're going to go right into the interview with Rob Bishop on his show, The Rob Bishop Show, robbishopshow.com, and I will see you on the other side of that.
Are you sick of being fed lie after lie by the mainstream media each day? Don't you feel it's time to stand up and be heard? Are you ready for the alternative media revolution? Ready or not, here we are. Revere Radio Network, bringing you the best in alternative news and commentary.
Great googly moogly.
Oh, good grief.
George is getting upset!
Ruh-roh.
And now for something completely different.
Hey, we're going to welcome Chris White in from ConspiracyClothes.com. Also has a show on the Revere Radio Network called Nowhere to Run. Has done some excellent work with water fluoridation in Tennessee. In fact, Chris, let's get right into that and tell us about some of the work you've done trying to get the fluoride out of your water down in Nashville.
I guess it started with just put together a lot of information in these, what I was calling packets, was just a lot of the real pertinent information, some of the toxicology stuff, and just a pretty good thing. I just had it done in a local printer and put it together, then I just started sending those out to everybody. I sent it to all the elected officials I could think of in the local area, both city and county, and then all the media people I could think of. I sent the hard copies of that actual packet to a lot of the producers and maybe editors and things of all the local and city and media people, and then followed that up with emails of basically the same information that was in the packets, just encompassed in an email, and sent that to everybody else I could think of, all the writers of the different publications, and then a lot of the teachers and principals and whatever the local schools, like you can go to the Summer County Board of Education website and get the emails for all the teachers and stuff. So basically that's all I did, and then started a MySpace page, which really just surprised me, all the attention that came from that, which was just starting the MySpace page, putting a lot of the pertinent information about it on there, and then just going through the browse thing that you can do with the MySpace page and adding everybody. Started with adding everybody in the city that I was in.
Well, that's myspace.com/fluoride is bad, I believe.
Yeah, fluoride is bad.
Very good.
And so then that just kind of expanded and went to, you know, the county. And then eventually the state. And it's really a matter of time. I wish I had so much, you know, all the time to just sit there and add people. That's really what it was, because it was just causing such a stir when I had enough time. And finally I've been getting back into it and been able to really... And that's such an amazing thing. I don't know, I'm just going off here. But they people respond to it just all the time, you know. And a lot of people are just so shattered by it and all this stuff. So you got to take every individual's response, you know, one step at a time, because, you know, it's been interesting. It's been a wild little thing there.
Now, what really woke you up to just the the evil and the dangers of water fluoridation? I mean, between the ethics, the fact that it's ineffective and unnecessary.
I don't know. It's been a while. I don't know where it actually first came from. I've been noticing it for years, and I haven't been drinking fluoridated water for a long, long time, but I also was like a drunk for 7 years, so I drink a lot of beer and whatnot, which was in fact drinking, you know, just canceling myself out, because I was drinking 12 glasses of fluoridated beer a day, you know. So when I quit that, it really started, I mean, it really declouds your mind amazingly. I mean, I was, like I said, I was drinking a lot of unfluoridated water, but it was no good, and all the juices and Cokes and everything you get is fluoridated, but... So I don't really know what it was, but yeah, it's amazing what people don't know about it. It's literally, it's just astounding to when you really start digging into it why people don't know about this, because it's so provable.
Let's talk about the Nuremberg Code for Human Experimentation, which water fluoridation clearly violates.
Run by what that law is there.
Well, basically, it goes basically from memory here with the Nuremberg trials and the global laws are written afterward, where you have to be informed before you're experimenting on any kind of heavy chemical. This actually came more from the Tuskegee experiments, more so than anything the Nazis were doing as far as genetic engineering. And to me, at least, water fluoridation, you know, to putting heavy metals in your own water, to me, that totally violates the human experimentation code.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things on that. I mean, and, you know, 97% of Western Europe has banned fluoridation in the water, and people don't realize that. And the reason most of them have banned it, they cite ethical concerns, and that is that you shouldn't medicate every man, woman, and child in a given area without their consent, you know. And first, it's the only thing that we put in water as a literal medication because they are so benevolently concerned with their teeth. And as you mentioned, the Nazis, you know, we're using that in concentration camps through, what is IG Farben, you know, right. Which was basically Hitler's war machine had such a huge surplus of all this. Just in case you don't know, fluoridation was started because making processing aluminum, and there's other ways to get it now, but you generate a byproduct, which is this hexafluoride, so hydrofluoric acid or whatever. It's absolutely useless, has no use, and... So this German chemical company was basically, in effect, after making all this stuff, you know, with the war machine, had all the surplus of this, and they also were running the concentration camps. So it was, in effect, like, well, what can we do with all this stuff? Let's take it to the testing grounds, see what happens if you put it in the water. And they just made the simple note of, wow, it makes them retarded, you know, at these high levels. So they just backed it off and said, well, it just kind of reduces rebellion and whatnot. And that's kind of where it started. It goes a lot deeper than that, and it's hard to believe it goes deeper than that. But that's kind of the conspiracy version of it. There's a watered down version of this for you know, getting people into the understanding what it's doing, because it's just so ridiculous. Now people know that you know, the ADA is finally got caught and had to admit that it is unsafe for babies, and that is, and they say, well, it's causing dental fluorosis, which is, they say, just a cosmetic condition, which is really in effect a outer biomarker of inner fluoride poisoning. But you don't hear them saying that. But what's interesting to note about that is that the ADA, the one shoving this down all of our throats, is admitting it's unsafe. The group that they say it's unsafe for, these young infants, are the same ones that it's being marketed for in, like, all these stores. You see this baby water, fluoride water, you know, treat your baby right, give it fluoride. That's the same people that they say shouldn't have it. You know, it's just crazy.
Well, I mean, the one defense that the proponents of water fluoridation like to use is, well, it's good for our teeth. Yet, the worst tooth decay in the United States, and this has been proven time and time again, even by the ADA and the CDC for that matter, occurs basically in the poorest neighborhoods of the major cities within this country. I mean, which have been fluoridated for decades, if not generations.
I know. And you should see the studies on this, that it's not only not good for your teeth, it's harmful for your teeth. And a good example of that is fluoride is known to cause mottled teeth. And that, you know, ironically, some of the natural fluoride deposits in England was what gave a lot of England the traditional bad teeth that people see. That's kind of where that came from, is natural fluoride deposits. I'm not saying that there was, you know, some, I'm not saying that you can't prove to me that it has some protection of the enamel, but and that's why they had to find something. I mean, it was basically somebody sitting around rooms like, we have to get this in everybody's water. What can we find a reason to put it in, you know, you're trying to reverse that, you know. But if you look at that, they now admit that the only benefits are topical, not systemic, meaning that, you know, it's only beneficial, quote unquote, beneficial if you brush your teeth with it or get it on your teeth. The reason it's in your water, according to them, is because every time you drink a glass of water, that water may or may not touch your teeth, and that's where it's going to help you. But it goes through your entire body. If you drink it, it goes through every single cell in your body on its way to your tooth enamel, which is so ridiculous of a concept, it should be known by everybody. You know, it's just so insane to try to do that.
I mean, even when they do away with water fluoridation in safe Germany, for example, after the German reunification. I mean, Cuba and Canada as well, tooth decay actually went down and has continued to go down in the past 15 years since then. And if anything, you know, you could bring these studies up and say, hey, you want to do good for our teeth? Get rid of the water fluoridation because it's drilling holes in our enamel.
And there's so much information about that. You can go to a different, I love fluoridealert.org or fluorideaction.com, same thing. Fluorideaction.com is amazing. It's a fluoride action network. It's got more information on this than anything. You can see all the charts and all this. And what's amazing is that trying to present, you have to, if you're trying to present this to a municipality or anybody, any government official, the ADA and these other groups, CDC and people, will swoop in and just take over. I mean, they have a propaganda machine. This is so crucial, in my opinion, to this whole network of the New World Order's plan. It can't be allowed to be a national debate. This can't get out, because if it gets out how crazy this is, then people will start waking up to a lot deeper issues than just, hey, you know, because you can't research this and have any good feelings about, you know, you have to come to the conclusions that, like the shirt that I did on fluoride says, the government is trying to kill you. I mean, it's really not about that. It's not that it's trying to kill you. I think it's trying to make you stupid, but I didn't think that made it as good of a shirt. But
actually, speaking of which, I'm actually wearing that shirt right now. I'm a big fan of, I swear to God on my life, I'm a big fan of conspiracyclothes.com. In fact, let's take a little bit of time just to plug that website and that clothing company. I mean, you know, I'd say you're, an unofficial sponsor when I was on Revere. I'm just a huge fan. I pretty much paid your Christmas bill, I think, with all the shirts I ordered around Christmas. But, I mean, I love the fabric. I mean, you order a lot of these, you know, truth-related, patriot-related T-shirts from different sites on the internet. Even the big boys like Alex Jones, I mean, they're just not great material. You know, something you find, like, at a five and dime store. I mean, these are great shirts. That, you know, they work for work. You know, they don't wear out. I mean, I'm just big fans of what you guys do at Conspiracy Clothes.
Well, hey, if you need any more, just send me an email. I'd be happy to send some out. If you got any, you can give to somebody or whatever, wake somebody up with it. That's the whole point. That's the reason I started.
Well, actually, I was gonna talk to you about this off air, but I've been thinking about doing sort of a quote the neocon contest, something like that, or even like a constitutional trivia contest, like maybe once or twice a month. And what I was gonna do is give away, like, you know, buy a couple shirts off Conspiracy Clothes and give them away as gifts. Okay, for the winners, maybe get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership for a month as a gift to the winner, or Faline ads, whatever. You know what I mean? Something on that order. If you'd be interested in doing that, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Support that, Rob. I mean, absolutely. I mean, just email me. We'll get some out to you for that. I mean, it's good promotion, but it's just good business too. I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely. But let's get back to fluoride now. I mean, let's talk about why fluoride is so unnecessary. I mean, let's talk. The promoters of fluoride, which is of course the CDC, have admitted themselves that the benefits are not topical but systematic. So fluoride toothpaste, which is basically available in any store, is a more rational response to delivering fluoride to the target organ, which is obviously the teeth, while minimizing exposure to the rest of the body. Again, I mean, fluoride is a heavy metal. Why do you think the CDC sort of speaks out of both sides of their mouth here?
The CDC and the ADA are, like many of the things in this country, controlled heavily and have a super crazy agenda there. I mean, this is a big part of the agenda. You know, when this starts, it's all that's happening right now is it's starting to come out. You know, I mean, you can prove so many things that are just blatantly ridiculous about this concept. And it's just now going to come out, but it's almost going to be too late, I feel. I mean, I don't think barring an amazing awakening and there is knockdown drag out stuff coming out right now, you know?
Right.
I mean, this Harvard professor, you know, got busted working for Colgate and, you know, trying to hide evidence that it's causing osteosarcoma, a horrible, deadly bone cancer caused in young boys. And you know, this is important news and stuff, but it's getting, again, suppressed by this thing. You know, one of the reasons I think it goes deeper than a lot of this stuff is that fluoride attacks the pineal gland. And, you know, that causes early onset puberty and all this other stuff. And it's really, you know, that's no damn good. And it accumulates in the pineal gland and it can't be gotten rid of. You can basically tell how much fluoride you've consumed in your life by that. But the important part is that the pineal gland actually has a spiritual connotation. I ran into this with Edgar Cayce, actually. He was talking about meditation or something, and he was talking about this, how meditation worked. You know, somebody, after you hear anything about Edgar Cayce, people just asked him all kinds of random-ass questions, and he would just answer every single one of them. Somebody asked him something about, I don't know, something to do with meditation, and he talked a lot about the, my phone is blowing up over here, but how important the pineal gland is in this. And if you take into that concept, I'm a very spiritual person, a Christian, and starting to see this attack on our spiritual abilities is what I think this is all about. I mean, it goes so deeper than that. I mean, my theory is about what is that happening and who's really behind all this, you know, you can be inferred, but that is one of the things that Credo Mutua, who was a guy David Icke interviewed, was a shaman in Africa, has some interesting theories about this and also about vaccines and how they're really an attack, you know, about on our souls, in a sense, and our spiritual abilities. I think the people in control of this whole thing, as we all know, whether you're a believer or not, we all know they're Satanists, so there's something to that, but they're deathly afraid of our innate natural ability to have authority, complete authority over evil, and they are attacking that, and that's what I believe this is. But let's get back into the nuts and bolts of this, if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Another effect it has, I mean, as far as osteosarcoma in young men, which is sort of like an advanced form of osteoporosis, directly links to water fluoridation, which of course brings about arthritis, thyroid problems. I mean, let's talk about that and how that actually leads to cancer later on in life.
Yeah, I'm a guy here locally, met on MySpace. He has thyroid cancer. He's just a guy about our age, and he said, you know, I have thyroid cancer, and the doctors, and he said this makes total sense because he drank a lot of water, and this is what's so dangerous about it. People, you know, fluoride is an accumulative poison, and they say, oh, it's at one part per million, so, you know, it can't harm people. Well, how are they supposed to know how much water a person's drinking? An athlete or recovering alcoholic, anybody that drinks more water than another person gets a higher dosage of it. Therefore, it's a drug that's absolutely unregulated. But anyway, this guy drank a lot of water, got thyroid cancer because, you know, like a lot of people get things because they're genetically disposed to certain things. But like, and he said his doctors were completely stumped because this particular type of cancer was not in his, demographic or whatever.
Right.
But it made total sense to him, and this is happening everywhere. It's more than, the thyroid is important too. This is a smoking gun of it. Originally, the first medical use of fluoride was to be used to shrink the thyroid. And its biggest effect is on this thyroid gland. And so people with overactive thyroids, it was assumed that this would be beneficial for them. So we know, and we've always known, that fluoride has dramatic effects of the thyroid gland, and so, you know, to think that it would be a good risk to take, to put it in everybody's water, now they're spraying the crops with it, so it's going through the skin, you know, the entire process of the crops, you can't get away from this stuff, and it's just part of this attempt to totally infiltrate everything that we put in our mouth.
How do you think this fits in with the, now we've heard for years about how the New World Order wants to take 85 to 90%, I mean, published CFR reports right out of the UN as well, how they want to cut down the world's population by 85 to 90%. I mean, I'm looking at a Frenny study here from 1994 where countries with 3 parts per million or more of fluoride in their water have lower fertility rates. I mean, how do you think this whole kind of fits in with that whole agenda?
Well, I think it probably does. I think, I'm very aware of all that stuff. I've never really seen any thing that suggests. I've always felt that fluoride wasn't really part of the actual cutting down the population, but the fertility thing is definitely worth looking into. It seems like they've really tried to do that in a lot of different other ways, but it's all good as far as they're concerned. Any casualties are good, but I think this is more of the of kind of putting us to sleep in a lot of ways and to lessen our power. I like the what David Icke, what he always uses, the illustration of we're so powerful as individuals, they absolutely need to hold us down, and we're being attacked by everything. He uses the illustration of holding a basketball at the bottom of a pool. You know, its natural tendency is to go go up and to burst out, and all this stuff is being having holding this basketball at the bottom of the pool, and I think that's what a big part of this is.
Talk a little bit about the effect fluoride has on the violent synapses in the brain. I mean, not just from aggression, but from temper, mood swings even.
I've really never seen much on that, honestly. But, I mean, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, I would never be surprised about anything with this, but I haven't seen much on that. It hasn't really crossed my desk, really.
Well, I mean, what it does, especially after, while your brain is forming, again, in that kind of 3 to 5 year old range, that toddler range, it kind of de-evolves your brain to the point where your brain, like you were saying, is trying to grow and evolve in a sense of maturity. What the fluoride does is almost hold it back. So while, you're developing more strength in your body, the ability to run and do all these things, that whole sense of right versus wrong is just basically totally cut off, and it points right back to the fluoride.
Right. Well, it makes sense with like Huxley's Brave New World. He said that's what they were doing. In that book, Brave New World, they had the infants, and they would put alcohol in the system of there to dumb down them in a specific manner to make them betas or whatever their prescribed class would be. And they're doing the same thing with vaccines, with in utero vaccines through the navel and stuff. They're dumbing us down before we even get a chance to have a fighting chance. There's no telling where this is going to end. We're all dying of cancer right now, and for all these different things like aspartame and all this stuff right now, but there's no when I was a kid, it's only been a few years that they've started totally infiltrating all this, everything with genetically modified foods and everything. We have no idea what we're going to die from here in a little bit. When this starts really happening and all this stuff starts taking place, it is, in my opinion, the end of the world. We need to start acting like it. You should. I mean, and for a while, I would, with fluoride, I would kind of cheat a little bit and be a little hypocritical and get coffee and stuff, here and there, until I realized this. What they're actually putting in the water, and this is a very little known fact about the they call it so many different things, silicon fluorides, basically hydrofluoric acid. This raw material, which is literally scraped from wet scrubbers and shipped untreated to municipalities, this chemical is so damn dangerous. It will blow your mind. It is so dangerous. And actually, all the arsenic, or the majority of any arsenic that anybody living in a fluoridated area has in their body, is directly because of this fluoride. It's a cheap alternative. That's how they sell it to the municipalities. You got the head of your water district sitting at his desk trying to save a buck or two, do his job or whatever. So he looks and sees that they have approved this use of this cheaper alternative, and 80% of the fluoridated water districts buy this, and it is shipped from China or the Florida and Louisiana phosphate industries directly from the factories, containing huge amount of arsenic, which is an accumulative poison, and obviously, it's incredibly deadly, but it's amazing. I called my water district, the guys supervised the water, and I asked him if we used, which one we used, sodium fluoride or silic acid, and he got real nervous, and he told me that we use the bad stuff, and he'd never been asked that question before, and I wish I had time to really follow up, because I think that's one of the biggest smoking guns, is that here's the smoking gun, the stuff that they put in our water, hydrofluoric acid, silicon fluorides, has never been had a toxicology paper done on humans before. It has never been tested. Everybody's coming out with all these things that we know about sodium fluoride causes all these thyroid problems and everything we've been talking about. The stuff that they actually put in our water has never been tested on humans before. It corrodes glass. This stuff has to be shipped in special containers from these factories because it's on the periodical table of elements. One of the most, the combination of the chemicals is one of the most corrosive substances known to man. It has a little bit of fluoride in this incredibly dangerous poison, but I'll email you this report from them. Their idea, and the reason that they consider this, it's safe, don't worry about it, is because they say when it comes into contact with water, well, then just fluoride becomes fluoride, and don't worry about all this other stuff. Even though in the states that these factories are producing this stuff, it is illegal to dump it in the water. So if this stuff turns magically safe when you dump it in water, how come it's so illegal to put it in water? And not to mention that there is no logic behind this. I mean, you can look into what the reasoning behind this, but it is ridiculous. Okay.
I think it's pretty funny that, especially after 9/11 and even after the anthrax attacks, which were obviously staged, we were told, oh, you got to watch, Al-Qaeda's going to poison the water, Al-Qaeda's going to infect the water. The fact is, the government's basically beat them to it. And what's even scarier about it, the only times they actually cite any studies at all, it's from the 1950s at a time when, they were advocating smoking cigarettes, at a time when they were advocating lead-based fuel. I mean, it's incredible. It's something like, I think it's 3 out of 4 people don't even realize that fluoride, is a heavy metal. And they don't realize that it's a poison. They think, oh, well, it's in toothpaste. It must be good for you. You know what I mean? The fact that the public's been totally blacked out on this, I think, is a pretty scary thought.
Yeah, and the studies, like you said, I mean, first of all, if you go to, and this is what any debunker will go do, they'll try to find all this stuff that's good about fluoride, so they'll go to the ADA's website and look, and they'll get a 50-year-old document called Fluoridation Facts that has never been updated, even though even the public record knows that's false data we now know. The same people that said it was safe, the Mellon Institute, put out all this fraudulent science saying the fluoride was safe, were the same people that were putting out the fraudulent science that said that asbestos was safe. Nobody argues today that, asbestos is really, a pretty good thing. We should insulate our house with it and insulate everybody's house in the entire country, whether they like it or not, with asbestos. That's, in effect, what's happening right now. And it came from the very same people. And the guy, it goes all the way back to the steel industry. If you go to the Mellon, Carnegie Mellon, the steel industry, were the same people that were funding all this research that got it into the water because, I mean, if you want to look at it for a capitalist, evil corporation point of view, which you can easily do, and that's what the non-religious will eventually have to come to, that this is all about money. And it was. I mean, they have to get rid of this immense amount of poison that they have to pay extremely expensive chemical disposal fees to get rid of this stuff. But instead, they pulled a fast one and told people, hey, we should check and see. The guy, Francis, I can't remember his name, but he was the guy that suggested we put, let's try putting it in the water. And he said, let's look at its effect on teeth. Like, just had this brainstorm. Right, we should see if this evil chemical that's killing everybody in my factories and causing all this agricultural problems and, this most litigated agriculture, these environmentalists don't realize it's the most litigated poison, environmental poison on record. The most deaths have been caused by these fluoride factories, and that's why they had to ship all this stuff out. In effect, spread out this poison all over the country as opposed to, having to get rid of it.
As you said before, actually, early on in the conversation, that fluoridealert.org is a great website for information on fluoride and fluoridation of water. But the ADA itself, and we can find this out because of the great website whois.com, where they tell us where websites are registered to. They actually went and registered and bought fluoridealert.com and fluoridealert.net to spread disinformation. So anybody out there that's researching, make sure you go to fluoridealert.org. Don't slip on the disinformation banana peel and end up at either .com or .net.
Yeah, I usually tell people fluoridaction.com. I ask them specifically over there if they had another URL. we got fluoridaction.com. What's the chance of that happening?
Oh, okay, see, I wasn't even aware of that. I just happened to slip on fluoridealert.org, but that works just as well, I imagine. But let's talk a little bit about vaccinations as well. I mean, Governor Perry in Texas, obviously that story got blown up, mainly because of Patriot Radio shows like this one, like yours and others. But, I mean, are you even aware that 30% of doctors in this country refuse to vaccinate their children? Even in Europe, it's as high as 60%. I mean, when the doctors won't even vaccinate their own children, and then they expect us to vaccinate ours and to get vaccinated ourselves, I mean, what does that tell you?
I know it. There is one of the best movies on this, and I encourage people to download it. If you don't know how to download it off Google, go to keepvid.com. It's really easy to do. But if you go to Google, type in vaccines, usually this is the first one that comes up. It says Radio Liberty. It's a guy doing a presentation on this. It's amazing. And he goes in such a presentation that you have to come to the conclusions that he eventually does, which is I mean, he mentions all the stuff. He mentioned that these doctors aren't doing it for themselves, for their children, and all this stuff, and how they, in their own publications, they're saying this. And then at the end, he goes through the Global 2000 documents and has to go to the natural course because it's so illogical, much like Fluoride, that you have to come to this conclusion that, I mean, they're doing this for knowing malicious, malevolent reasons, you know. And so, and that's an amazing issue, especially, you know, when you get into the nuts and bolts of that.
I think, again, that ties in my opinion, at least, you might differ here, but I think that really ties into the whole New World Order direction of forced population declines. you see...
Global 2000 documents are, I mean, they're saying yeah, we're going to reduce the population, and it's all good.
I mean, talk a little bit about thimerosal and the fact that that has on the average child. Of course, that's pretty much a core chemical in all forced vaccinations, regardless of what the so-called intent is.
Well, you know, the Marisol thing is, you know, it's amazing. And I don't know as much about this as I do about, like, aspartame or something else, but what I do know about it, it is, it's crazy that they, you know, okay, well, they say that mercury is used as a preservative, and that's why it's in all these vaccines. Well, okay, but you can use saline salt water for the same purpose. And why are we using mercury? Everybody agrees that mercury is deadly. You can go... and now some of these videos and all this other stuff coming out show the effect of mercury on these neurons, and it's very clear why it's causing autism when you see, you can watch what happens to neurons when they come in contact with mercury. And, you know, a human body is made to resist mercury because there's natural forms of it. We have defenses, and we can hold a certain amount depending on how genetically disposed you are to handling it. And that's why usually about the third or fourth round of vaccinations, depending on how genetically predisposed you are to it, you'll toxify, and, you know, the kid will get immediate onset autism or whatever they call it, and go start having seizures before they get home from the hospital. And then, oh, well, you know, that happens. There's no correlation to the vaccine. Don't worry about that. I mean, but it's deeper than that. I think the thimerosal is only part of it, and as you know, the retroviruses and all these 500 unknowable things because of the way that the vaccine's cultured. Forget the fact that it doesn't even work. You know, you know, you can prove a good deal of stuff about how the vaccines and their benefits, but it's certainly not what they say. I mean, you know, the eradication of polio and stuff was, if you really look into the numbers there, it becomes very questionable whether it had anything at all to do with the eradication of polio or any other disease for that matter.
Well, I mean, what do you say to people, and I've kind of ran into this myself, you know, where, all right, diet soda is bad, regular soda is bad, even water is bad. I mean, what do you tell, I mean, white grape punch or whatever it is, you know, that actually has a higher fluoridation level than our own water. I mean, what do you tell people who say, you know, what can we drink? We have to drink something, and everything's worse than the next thing.
I say drink spring water, and if you really want to, go. I mean, make sure it's a spring water, you know, not something springs and then has municipal water source listed as its source, but something that says spring water. And even then, you got to go to that website and just make sure that they are not doing anything. Now, we have a bill here in Tennessee that's going through that's going to require them to label every bottle of water with fluoride, and not only label it. This is hopefully if it goes through. Not only label it, but say that the ADA has admitted that this is unsafe for babies, whatever the language. You can go to my MySpace page and on the blog section, check that out, myspace.com/fluoride is bad, and see about that in Tennessee. But I hope that spills over to other states, but I forgot what the question was, but I think, yeah.
Well, no, just basically, you know, what's a safe thing to drink? I mean...
Oh, I know, and the thing, I was just... even the stuff that I like now, you know, I'll call up V8 or something and call them up and be like, you know, are you guys using genetically modified, you know, anything or whatever? And they're like, no, it's all good. And then I was like, you know, I hate to do it, but are you using fluoridated water? And of course, they don't really know, but it's modeled from a municipal source and just filtered. And I mean, bottom line is, you got to act crazy. I'm telling you, my family, I'm just slowly getting them, to understand how important this is, because you have to act crazy. I was at the grocery store last night and trying to buy groceries for everybody, just to kind of set the bar, you know, what it can be done, you know, but it's really tough and nobody really has time to through the things. So I went to the grocery store like at 2 in the morning, you know, just spending 8 hours in my MP3 player there. It's just amazing. With the juices and stuff. The only safe thing to do anymore is spring water. You can get Perrier or something like that. And really, you have to just make sure it comes from that kind of source. And if you want to, start calling your favorite beverages and start bitching at them about it. And see what kind of stuff you can get. I mean, some of these companies, like those bathhouse drinks that you can get at like Walmart and different things, just smoothies basically. I bet if you they're a small enough company, you can call them up and be like, is there any way you can just start doing this spring water and whatever would be a good selling point, whatever. But
right. I mean, it's almost another form of activism right there, just to try to force the company's hands not to fluoridate their water, especially on a smaller level.
And if they're good people, it'll start resonating with, people will start seeing that on labels, like, non-fluoridated, why would we want that? Here's another thing, with toothpaste, you got to be really careful, even though that's the good sort, the quote-unquote good sort, it's not hydrofluorosilic acid, as far as I know, it could be, but it's supposed to be sodium fluoride, but it's at such high content. If you have, you got to stop using that altogether, because if there's if you have any kind of opening at all in your mouth, if you've ever seen any pink in the sink, as they say,
right.
You got it. I mean, it's getting in your bloodstream and it's making you stupid, dumb, and doing a whole bunch of other stuff. If it's getting directly in your bloodstream like that, and at such a high content, you will notice if you can just eliminate fluoride altogether. Start brushing your teeth with, if you still want to use toothpaste, go get Tom's. Most grocery stores have it. It's Tom's unfluoridated toothpaste. Be careful, Tom's also makes a fluoridated version, but just read on the package, you'll see the fluoride-free version. Or, baking soda and hydrogen peroxide, you can't beat that. I mean, in fact, I was reading something the other day that the people that aren't using these glycerin-based toothpaste, cavities are not caused by carbohydrates, sugar, any of this stuff. It's caused by acidity on the teeth, and this is what I was reading the other day, and it was just you can get rid of all cavities, like there's no cavity rate in certain countries that don't use glycerin based stuff. It's amazing. But and fluoride based stuff, obviously.
Do you know anything about the effects that fluoride has maybe in malt liquor? I'm sitting here right now with a Jack Daniel's raspberry mix here, basically just like a julep type of drink. I mean, do you know anything about the effect that the
I don't know if they clash or anything. If there's any kind
that's
of
what I'm wondering. You would think it would almost ferment itself, but because I know a lot of people, they will not put down their drinks. Regardless of the effect, and that's also another scary proposition there.
Like I said, I drink every day for 7 years, and I got even though I wasn't drinking fluoridated water, trying not to, I was getting 12 cans of fluoride a day. There's ways around it. Coors Light is all. I look into the issue yourself, because I always just assumed Coors Light was really tapping the Rockies and they were really just spring water. And that's one way you can try to avoid it. A lot of 97% of Europeans, Western Europe, has banned the use of fluoride in water, although they use it in salt and other things to get around it, because they still need to dumb everybody down over there. But you can buy some imported beers if you just make sure if that country doesn't fluoridate the water. I mean, when in doubt, look at the source of the municipalities. I mean, they all get the water. Coca-Cola gets it from Atlanta or wherever it's bottled, and then they just filter it or whatever they do. Because all these Dasani's and all this corporate bullshit that they're using is just glorified tap water, and they just get a lot of the other stuff out. But that's what it is. You cannot remove fluoride from your water, no matter what you do. I mean, I take that back. You can do reverse osmosis filters, which gets a lot of it out, with Berkey water. The PF2 filters has an attachment for that.
In fact, I was going to ask you what your opinions are on the Berkey water filter, things like that. Oak.
Me and my girlfriend have one, and she's a heavy water drinker, and so she got one this Christmas, and got the fluoride things. You can go to eBay and get some pretty good deals on those Berkey water filters, but I highly recommend it, because having water is about to be the most important thing that you can do. They crash all this stuff when they're about to do the water is going to turn off. And the first thing that happens in any major disaster is no water. That's going to, we're talking about reducing the population. That's a long way towards that means, getting rid of safe water to drink. And with a Berkey water filter, you can go to your local pond and dump some water in that thing, and you'll have drinkable water. You're going to be the richest man in the world if you get a Berkey water filter. Or you thoughtfully stored a lot of spring water or whatever kind of water.
You know, Chris, a friend of mine who is pretty much up on a lot of this stuff as far as New World Order and sort of the other things that we talk about regularly, he prides himself on the fact that he doesn't drink soda, doesn't drink diet soda, he'll give you a 3-hour lecture on aspartame, and yet he's drinking water basically from the tap. He's one of those little tap filters, but I mean, what do they really do? So I went out and bought him a sport Berkey off of eBay, okay? And had him use that, and I, about 2 days later, he goes, this water tastes terrible, it's this and that. It's like, you know, it's because it's clean. You're not used to tasting clean, real water. You know, it doesn't have that same kind of tang to it. And I'm thinking, you know, when your water has tang to it, you know, it's time to change the filter, my friend.
That's the truth, man. I'm a water snob. I can tell it real easily now if I'm drinking anything besides water. But, you know, it's easy to do. Like I said, it's easy to be hypocritical, you know, if you have a favorite drink, you know, or coffee for that matter. If you're going to a store or getting it, you're basically just drinking tap water. I'm in like a lot of big cities and, you know, getting coffee and thinking, I'm in New Jersey drinking coffee. I might as well just be, you know, drinking sludge.
Yeah. There's not much of a difference between Mexican and New Jersey water, is there?
Yeah, I was up there not too long ago, and I think the guitar player looked over and he was like, tasted this good water on stage, and I was just like, oh my, that's some stuff.
And New Jersey has a little bit of a unique smell to it, doesn't it? But
yeah.
Talk a little bit about your band.
It was really rock and roll town. I thought it was cool.
Oh, it definitely does. It has a sort of lounge feeling to it, there's no doubt. But tell us a little bit about The Loft. I mean, an excellent band. In fact, you know, I'm sure you've probably heard through the grapevine myself, Chris Smith, and Jack Blood are kind of trying to put together a little bit of a project. Actually, we finally decided on a name this morning, Monday morning when we were pre-recording this, obviously. But, you know, what I'd like to do is sort of make a network that kind of combines music and a message, you know, and it's the same vision Jack has, same thing Chris is thinking as well. I mean, I'd love to be able to broadcast a Loft playing live on our network, or even on TNR Live. I'm sure Mike Chambers would love to have a live concert from The Loft. Where can we find out more about the band and, you know, how you can go out and see them and maybe even get a hold of some of the recordings?
Something that's been really good for us lately is this YouTube thing. It's kind of a big multimedia thing. You can see what we're doing and hear it at the same time. You can check that channel out on YouTube. It's called The Loft Rocks is the name of the channel. I think it's YouTube/The Loft Rocks. But, you know, you can go to our website, lovetheloft.com. But, you know, a lot of the stuff's on MySpace. You can hear the songs, which is myspace.com/TheLoft, L-O-F-T. And, you know, a lot of really good stuff. We've been at it for a long time, and we're just, you know, six brothers against all odds. I mean, we've stayed together while every band that we've ever played with has fallen apart. And it's just there's something going on with this band. We've played with some of the biggest bands, and you know we've done a lot, and it's really now starting to pay off. We've played, you know, over 600 shows together all across the country, just on a wing and a prayer with no budget, and now it's starting to come together. We were in New York last week, and some big stuff came together, and now we're doing a lot of good stuff. We're going to L.A. pretty soon to record with this new producer. A lot of stuff's happening, and we're really happy to do it. As far as the truth aspect of it, you know, it comes through in the lyrics. Our singer, you know, is one of my best friends, and you spend enough time on the bus with me, you're going to hear about all this stuff, you know. And so over the years, everybody's on board, and we are, you know, we all believe in this, and we all understand how important it is, and it's starting to come out. I don't think that we're, you know, right in your face about it, but, you know, you can listen to songs like Sympathetic Blues and a lot of stuff that's our new stuff, you know, and it's really telling, you know, but I anticipate a lot of this stuff. And it's such a grassroots thing because, you know, there's such a shortage of real, genuine music out there that people respond so immediately to things that are real and aren't, you know, pretentious or trying to be anything, which is, we've always just done what we feel. It's came so naturally, and, you know, we got six geniuses on it, and I don't know, you just got to check it out. The YouTube thing's really cool, and you can go to the Revere Network thing. We have, I've just posted some on YouTube, but it's better to go to the YouTube channel / The Loft Rocks, I guess.
Right, I mean, actually, you know, I didn't even know you're part of that band for the longest time. I'd heard the advertisements either on your show and other shows on Revere, and I'd be like, wow, that's, you know, it almost sounds like, you know, I'm a big blues fan, period, blues rock, you know. It was like, wow, this sounds a lot like the Black Crowes from back in the day. It sounds almost a little bit, somewhat like, you know, maybe Mudhoney, some of the early grunge bands. I'm like, wow, I could really get into some pure rock and roll. I mean, another friend of mine, Randall Lewis from Line of Sight, has a band as well, Medicate Downline, but it's more of like a industrial band, which, I mean, that you pretty much have to have a taste for that kind of music. And don't get me wrong, I mean, excellent. He's an excellent musician as well. But, you know, I don't care who you are, where you come from, what creed, what race, you know, whatever background in life you come from, you have to enjoy just pure rock and roll music. And, you know,
yeah, it's really responded to. That's one of the things that we love. I mean, we have 80-year-old, we can convert anybody in the audience. We've played a lot of different venues. We were in Memphis not too long ago playing, you know, for, I think it was on TV. It was like a Good Morning Memphis type thing. And it was just great. I mean, we had so many various people respond to it. And it is, like you said, it's one of the roots of all this stuff. And people respond to, and there's so much BS with music now, and it's all been owned by the same Ministry of Music, you know, and it's all corporate conglomerates, and they're just feeding us this stuff that's not real, and people are instinctively understanding that it's not real. Music responds, you know, it's something that, it's a universal thing that people respond to, and so it's part of this grassroots thing. I have this vision of the future of, this, you know, these grassroots movements that must happen without the help of mainstream or anything, because it's all going to be totally controlled and stuff. So we need something to bring us together, and I think that music and these festival type things is going to be one of those things that does it.
Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of something that, I mean, when you think of the counterculture movement of the 1960s, I mean, what do you think of? You think of Steppenwolf, you think of Hendrix, you think of all these sort of, at the time, what was called acid rock bands that really, I mean, even CCR with Fortunate Son is still something that resonates today. You know, I think that's something we really miss in the Patriot movement, the 9/11 Truth movement, is those sort of core anthems, that core music that everybody can kind of unite behind. I mean, how many times can you play that one Paris song, you know? And I really hope that The Loft becomes sort of that next great band that brings out a message. And, you know, Chris, I really appreciate you coming on the program. I mean, you know, I think you and Captain Freedom's pilot program were the first two Patriot shows that I really heard that weren't either Alex Jones or Jack Blood or some of the big boy heavy hitters, you know, and that sort of inspired me to try to get into this genre of radio. And I could just, you know, say thank you 1,000 times for coming on the program. And again, one more time, conspiracyclose.com, myspace.com/fluoride is bad, and go check out The Loft on YouTube.
Right on, man. It was good talking with you.
Take it easy, my friend. We'll be right back.
Can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Okay, so that was that interview, and it was pretty decent. It was pretty long. Sorry if it bored you to tears there, and it probably had some shameless self-promotion in there. Probably it did. So I apologize for that, I guess. And that was Johnny Cash at the end, and I love Johnny Cash. I really think his music is great. And I love that song, too. I actually live in Johnny Cash's hometown here in right outside of Hendersonville, Tennessee, or his former hometown, I guess. Okay, so we just got a few minutes left here, and I'll just encourage everybody, if you saw the Ron Paul debate, he smoked everybody. I mean, it was so overwhelming. It is going to be an exciting ride with this Ron Paul thing, because, you know, on the mainstream media, they were kind of having to talk out of the side of their mouths and say that, because he won all these polls. I mean, he was just, like, so clearly different than everybody, and he won everything, even all the people that saw it. I don't know what's going to happen. Something has to give. They can't let him debate. I mean, they can't let him, but, you know, now all the pundits and McLaughlin group and everybody saying he's you know, clearly the winner, and they don't want him to be the winner. I mean, they were struggling to say, what's his name, Romney or whatever won that debate, and even though all the polls and everything, it's going to be an exciting thing with this Ron Paul thing, because the people want him and the media can't have them. So it's just going to be, and until they legally throw away our Constitution, until they put it in the newspaper that we've given up the Constitution, it's still legally there, and this whole process has to go through a certain system. They might have the the diebold voting machines that cancel us out, but there's still democracy left, and we got a year to raise some serious questions, and Ron Paul and his candidacy is going to shake things up. It's going to be a very exciting time, and he needs our prayers. So pray for Ron Paul, and pray for his protection, and pray for God's will to be done in his life, and also that's what we do here. If I requisition prayers, so if you could pray for me to make sure I don't give out disinformation and to keep my tongue in check, I would appreciate that. And for protection and knowledge and understanding and humility. And everybody needs to burn DVDs. Go get anything. Bring them to the grocery store with you about aspartame, the vaccine one. Email me if you need links to any of these videos. I will be happy to give you a tutorial on how to download this stuff and how to burn them. It's kind of complicated, but you can email me at chris@conspiracyclose.com. Call me out. Tell me where I'm wrong. And that's also an important project in this show, is to tell me where I'm wrong. If you found something in the archives or something that I'm dreadfully wrong about, or something that's just blatantly uncool, just let me know. chris@conspiracyclose.com. Burn DVDs. Everybody try to eat right. It's really important. I really don't have a lot of good feelings about what they're going to do, and we need to make sure our immune systems are at peak working level. You know, they're so overtaxed right now. They're fighting so much stuff because there's so much for our immune systems to tackle, that if we can take some of the load off our immune systems, it might have enough to fight what may be coming. I just have a feeling that pestilences and all that good stuff is going to play a major role in this population reduction that the global 2000 type people want to have so badly. Okay, that's all the time I have, guys. So, I believe we are really in the last days that were prophesied in the Bible, and I think that we should start acting like it a little bit. Power to the people, and all glory be to God. Take it easy.